Hello everyone and welcome back to Meet the Kotatsu. My name is An, and on this episode, I want to talk about The Legends of Vox Machina. So, this was a show that was previously announced, I think, 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. And of course, it was held back or delayed due to COVID. And this was a show based on a Dungeons & Dragons campaign for the group Critical Role, which they stream on Twitch, which is super crazy just to imagine that, you know, like just a bunch of people got together, played Dungeons & Dragons, and that now they're so big. Like they made a Kickstarter, it got huge reviews, and I think in terms of the Kickstarter, I think they needed $1 million, and I think they got the funding in like less than an hour, maybe 2 hours. And then they shattered what they needed, and I think they plan to produce more episodes. And they joined, it's streaming on Amazon Prime. And I think they might get a second season, I'm not sure, but with just the first season alone, oh my gosh, this has been one of the most amazing shows I have ever seen in such a long time in regards to just how great the animation is. They take a lot of inspiration from just like the anime style and combine it with just the Western animation. I think this is the epitome of what really good Western anime animation should be. And the sad thing about this is that it shouldn't take just a ragtag group of people with a Kickstarter to make something like this happen. But, you know, here we are now. It's such an age where it's taken this long to come out with such an amazing show. And if I could describe this show to you, it would be something like if I took the goriness and just the craziness of Invincible and then combined it with like the animation stylings of Avatar, The Last Airbender, more precisely Korra. If you took those and combined them together and then cranked it up to 10, you would get The Legends of Vox Machina. So with Vox Machina, I guess let me break down the people who actually played the games, the Dungeons & Dragons campaign. So first you have the Dungeon Master, which is Matthew Mercer. Everyone really kind of knows him already. He voices Krieg from Overwatch, so everyone already knows him pretty much there. Next is Marisha Ray. She plays Keyleth on the show. And then we have Ashley Johnson, which plays Pike Trickfoot. Then Laura Bailey, which plays Vexalia. And then Liam O'Brien, who plays Vaxeldon. Then we have Taliesin Jaffe, who plays Percy. Sam Riegel, who plays Scanlan. Travis Willingham, who plays Grog. And then overall, like, they have a huge cast. Like, Each one of these players is a voice actor in their own right. Like, they voice act in games, they voice act in shows. So they're no strangers when it comes to voice acting. And the voice acting that they bring into the show is, bar none, one of the best voice actings ever. Because it's their own characters. They know how to voice their own characters, and they've been playing their own characters for several years now, so what makes the show stand out. It's just the amazing voice acting that just comes along with just, you know, making your own show. It's incredible. But the meat of really why I want to talk about The Legends of Vox Machina is how amazing the animation is. It's downright one of the most, like, amazing animations I've ever seen. And Western animation as a whole, It's hard to talk about because in terms of anime, Western animation is more based towards kids, and The Legends of Vox Machina is not anywhere close for kids. It's 100% for adults. You know, there's sex scenes, there's vulgarity, The blood's gore cranked up to 10. It's very bloody. They don't hold anything back. It's pretty much cranked up to the max as they can really get it. And that's a good thing. It's because they're not held back by, you know, any big conglomerate animation studio. You know, it's all self-funded, so they can do whatever they, you know, whatever they want. And it's refreshing. It's refreshing to see a show that really, you know, that really doesn't hold back and just gives you whatever they want on a platter. It's amazing. But in terms of the animation stylings, it's, like I said, it's so crazy to find something that is taken this long for Western animation to catch up to how we see Japanese animation. Like, I think the first show I can really remember that really caught me in terms of animation was Batman Beyond. That was aired in 1999, and it had this gritty, dark, very unique style in terms of animation. And of course, we do have shows like, I remember when Avatar the Last Airbender aired, it was huge because that was the first time we've seen anime style in a Western media type show, especially one that is so serious. It's not specifically made for kids. It has adult themes, you know, and adults can relate to a show like Avatar the Last Airbender. I know there's been plenty of arguments where people are like asking, like, is Avatar an anime? And like, I don't know if you can define Avatar as an anime. Like, what is an anime? I guess in terms of anime, you could say like it's animation produced in Japan, or is it the art style? Because it can go either way. I understand the argument of, is Avatar an anime or not? In one hand, you know, it has the anime stylings, but in another hand, you know, it is a Western production. I don't want to get too deep into the argument because I understand from both sides where they're going. But in terms of like the Legends of Vox Machina, would I consider this an anime? That's hard to say in its own right. It's like the same argument, is Avatar an anime? It is a hard argument, hard argument to make, and I'm not sure if I'm the person that should make that argument. Because it does everything right in terms of what good animation should be. But, you know, when it comes to Japanese anime, like it borrows just enough from Japanese anime to make it very distinct. Like, it's a very unique style of animation. I don't think I've seen many shows that really stand out in terms of like this specific animation stylings. Like, when I first saw it, you know, the first thing that came to mind was Invincible. Like, I was like, wow, you know, this takes a lot from Invincible, like, especially the humor, just the bloodiness, the goriness. And I actually went and I looked up, like, the creators of The Legends of Vox Machina, like, the animators, the characters, designers, and oh my god, they have some of the biggest names in terms of, like, just the animators. Like, I know their character, like, their main storyboard and character creator. He was the main character designer for like a bunch of DC animated series. What was his name? I think his name was Phil Barassa, and he worked on Justice League, Young Justice, a bunch of DC comic stuff, which really stood out to me. And of course, like when it comes to like Western media, like I know that like Western media is very unique. It's so, so unique in terms of just their animation stylings. Because when you think about anime, it's very, like, even though there's a bunch of different ways to do anime, a lot of it feels set within, like, a boundary. There's a boundary, and there's a couple animes that break that boundary mold. Not too many that come to my head. There's a couple. But in terms of, like, just Western animation, it's all over the place. Like, for once you have, like, let's say The Simpsons. They're, you know, they're widely known and they have a very specific way of being drawn. Next is like Rick and Morty. That is, like, I love the show, and it's just their animation stylings. Like, you won't find another show with that type of animation stylings. And then another show that comes to my head is Bob's Burger. it also has a very unique way. It's like a mix between like The Simpsons and what other shows would I really mix it with? It's a very unique show that's really relaxed and chilled. And actually, one of the animators that worked on The Legends of Vox Machina also worked on Bob's Burger. So I was like, you know, when I was looking up all these people that was working on The Legends of Vox Machina, I was like, wow, just the amount of talent, just the amount of talent in just this one show is mind-blowing. No wonder this show is so good. Like, no wonder I have so much, like, I was so awestruck. Just by, like, the first 5 minutes of the show, I was just blown away by how well the characters act, how well they move, how well they do everything. Like, usually you don't see that within Western media. Like I know, like, the three big shows in terms of, like, just Western cartoon blocks would be, like, something like Adventure Time, which is very unique as well. Adventure Time, Gumball, and Gravity Falls. Those three shows, I know they have, like, huge accolades, and I know they have such, like, if you put them next to each other, they would be so different from each other. But in terms of anime, if you took, like, the top, let's say, 100 animes, you know, from the top 100, and you lined them all up together, they have very similar animation styles. There'll probably be, like, one or two that will break the mold, but not that many. Not that many will break the mold. A lot of them will basically be animated the same way. They'll have the same animation stylings, which is unique. It's unique to anime, and with Western media nowadays, it's unique. It's out there. But I'm so glad that The Legend of Vox Machina really took inspiration from just the anime theme, anime stylings. It's so great. It's so great. But let me just talk about the show in general now. Let me get deep into why I really like this show. So first off, their story, I don't want to say this, but the flow of the show felt really off. Like, it felt really fast, and then it went really slow. It was kind of all over the place, and I totally understand why. It's because they were following their Dungeons & Dragons campaign. You know, they had to kind of do what they did within the show, and, like, in terms of, like, if you've never watched Critical Role, I'm not telling you to go watch Critical Role because, oh my god, that's like, if you thought watching One Piece was bad, like, if you, you know, I think One Piece has, like, gotten to, what, over 1,000 episodes now. And if you think about it, like, each episode is, like, 20 minutes long. So you're looking at roughly around, what, 300 hours of content. With The Legends of Vox Machina, they have, like, over a thousand hours of content. So I'm not telling you to go out and watch The Legends, you know, or Critical Role, because that's an adventure in itself. That's pretty ridiculous for anyone to actually go, like, hey, you need to watch this show. It's, you know, that's like saying, like, hey, you got 1,000 hours to spare. But in terms of the show, yes, the story is very clunky, and it makes sense because I remember in the show, and I've only watched, like, the first season. I know they're currently on their third campaign. I've only watched the first campaign. Second and third campaign, I'm really not bothered with. But I know Ashley Johnson, who plays Pike, she had a separate role in a different show that she needed to leave for, so she wasn't able to be in the show or be in the campaign for all that time. So that's why in the show, the character Pike leaves, and I was like, that was kind of out of nowhere. She just, like, gets up and leaves and has to find herself, and I understand it's because Ashley Johnson needed to, you know, pick up and go do her actual job, you know, because when they first started, Critical Role was just more like a hobby. It wasn't that big, but now Critical Role is, I think, the number one rated, like, or in terms of profit, I think they're, like, one of the largest, or probably is the largest, when it comes to, like, earning money on Twitch. It's pretty crazy. I'm not 100% sure on the numbers. I just remembered something in regards to, like, when Twitch had that leak or whatever, and it was showing, like, Critical Role was being really high up there. I think it could have been number one, I'm not sure. But at that time, though, Ashley Johnson picked up, and she was, you know, she played in a handful of games. Now, for, I think, Season 2 and Season 3, she's in a lot more games. I don't want to say exactly, because I haven't been really watching them. But overall though, I really like the show. Like, everything about the show really stood out to me. Like, the fact that they don't really try to hide how vulgar each character is, because, like, at the heart of it, when you're playing a Dungeons and Dragons campaign, you want to be funny. You want to, like, yeah, sure, it's a lot of, you know, you have the serious person, like, of course, Taliesin Jaffe, who plays Percy. Percy is a serious character in the show, and his character, like, I think in the show they go through, like, two campaigns. The first campaign is just, like, a random encounter. I guess that's more like the, what would you call it? Like, just that feeler episode, just to get it out there. The pilot episode. Like, the first two episodes I would consider, like, the pilot episode or the pilot campaign, is what they were doing. And then for the other 10 episodes, they go through and do, like, a separate, like, their second campaign, which, revolves around Percy, and his struggles to fight back his, like, to get back his kingdom. If you haven't seen the show, I won't try to spoil it for you, because, you can definitely watch the show without having to actually seen any, like, to know anything about Critical Role. Like, it's a great show. You don't need to know about Critical Role, and you can watch it in its own right. It's great. It's fantastic. If you know the show, it's even better. It's even better because you kind of know what's happening, but they do take, you know, artistic license to do kind of cool stuff within the show. And there are some crazy, crazy cool stuff within the show. Like, I remember this one point in the show, I was super excited when Matthew Mercer announced that another character was going to come in, and maybe they were going to come back and fight, like, you know, a group of bandits or something like that. And I was super excited. And in the show, they showed that, except I was blown away. I was blown away by how cool everything was and how cool the animation is for everything. Like, it's just everything I wanted in such a great show. Like, especially, like, whenever they animated spells and stuff like that. Like, one of the spells that really stood out to me and how awesome it was is whenever I was watching them play the campaign, and there's this one spell where they could write stuff in the sky or do, like, a, like, shift the clouds or whatever. Like, Keela's able to shift clouds to give a message or something like that. She does that in the campaign. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know, like, let everyone know that they're here or they need help or something like that. And then they do it in the show, in The Legend of Vox Machina. She does it in the show. And it was just, I was just blown away by how just that, like, it was like just a minor thing in the campaign became such a crazy thing in the show. Like, whenever they animated it, I was blown away. I was blown away by how great everything was. I hope in the future, or, like, of course I want more Legends of Vox Machina. I hope in the future they come out with a second season. I'm not sure how long it's going to take. Like, I know it could have, I think it was announced in 2018, 2019 or something like that. But I really want more shows to follow within the animation stylings of The Legends of Vox Machina. Of course, it doesn't have to be as gory or as bloody or, you know, adult theme as The Legends of Vox Machina. I know we've had shows, like, a lot of shows within, like, the DC side, superhero shows, but I want something that is totally, totally unique. I think the last show, maybe, that really stood out to me in terms of, like, this animation stylings, besides from, like, The Legend of Korra, I don't know if I can remember that many. Like, it's hard to pick up. Like, I know Disney and Pixar were always good at doing great 2D animation, but now they're doing a lot of 3D stuff, so there's really not that many. Like, I know a lot of people who want to make great anime or animated shows like this just go straight to the anime style. And they, you know, a lot of people just straight up just move to Japan and they'll just go straight into working in a, like a, in a studio where they'll produce anime style animation. Like, why hit a middleman with Western animation when you just move straight to Japan? But I really want to see more shows like The Legends of Vox Machina. It's totally unique. It's totally out there. And I 100% recommend it. There are, you know, of course, it's not perfect. There are some flaws with story and stuff like that. But everything about it is great. Even the music was great. Like, in terms of music, the, who is it? Sam Riegel, who plays Scanlan. He plays the bard, but he's also a really, really great, like, music. He's a really great composer in real life. And he composed a lot of the original music that came within the show. And, like, whenever you think about a show, you also, like, think about, like, the main music that they always play. And that always stuck into my head. And with this show, like, of course, they have their own music. And it was awesome. And, you know, they have a different version of the song, which is, like, orchestrated. And it really stood out to me, like, wow. Like, they did everything that they did right about the show. Like, it doesn't need to take a band of just random people to get a show out like this. But we're living in those type of times where, you know, like, if you want something great, it can't be held back by a huge corporation. If you want something that's out there, you can't, you know, whenever you're working in a type of huge industry, like the movie industry or the animation industry, and you're working within a big company, they always have very strict rules and guidelines. But whenever, you know, like I said, the Legends of Vox Machina, they had no one to hold them back. They had no guidelines. They can go as far as they wanted. And they really did that. They really went all out there and they really made something that is just mind-blowingly great. It's like if The Legend of the Vox Machina came out and, you know, the animation was great and the voice acting was great and, like, everything was great about it, except, you know, there's probably, like, one thing that wasn't too good. Like, if they went with, like, just the standard, let's say, DC comic type stylings, I would have been all right with it, but it just wouldn't feel very, like, it wouldn't have stand out to me as much as the type of stylings they did with the show right now. And I really hope if they do make a season 2, they keep moving along with the same type of styling, because this is fantastic. It's great, and I hope to see more in the future. That's really much all I have to say about it, but thanks for listening to me, guys. I'll catch you guys later. Bye.